Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Tonight, I want to share with us truths that affect us as individuals, and truths that affect us as a global body of Christ. There are realities that we must step into as individuals, and there are realities we must step into as a body. You know, in the course of this conference, the Lord has been leading us by His Spirit. Last night I wanted to share a message. At a point my vocal cord was arrested, and the Lord began to bring utterances of purging. And when the Holy Ghost began to minister to me this afternoon, I now knew why what happened last night took place. Because committers, transitions will be happening at the same time. As I minister, some of you will receive inheritances from God in order to mount certain gates in the agenda of God for this dispensation. And some of you will be transiting from one level of glory to another. I pray that the Lord will grant utterance. I also pray that the Lord will grant us understanding. Utterance to communicate this sacred counsel, and an understanding heart to be able to receive it. Not to interact with it cognitively, but to receive it in our spirit and become what we hear. As a form of brief recap, we began considering the subject of the unity of the faith. And amazingly, the Lord began to cause me to look upon the subject from a side I have never considered before. Because before now, when I discuss the subject of the unity of faith, my emphasis is on doctrine. The need to understand doctrine and to stay accurate and true with doctrine in establishing the counsel of God. The perspective we are considering tonight does not negate the place of doctrine, but it's just another layer of approaching the subject matter. So in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 12, the Bible began to tell us that when the fivefold carry out their duty effectively, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, when they carry out the assignment effectively on the body of Christ, they will bring the body of Christ to the unity of the faith. And he began to show us the three things that makes for the unity of the faith. He said, first is that the body of Christ will come into the knowledge of the Son of God. Because he said that we may come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So if the person of Christ is not understood by revelation, then the requisite spiritual understanding that will make us coexist as one will never be granted. So the reason you and I can function as one is because we have discerned the person of Christ. So he said, when we come to the knowledge of the Son of God, then we are ready to carry out business as a corporate persona, the unity. Number two, he said, until we become a perfect man. And the word perfect in that scripture is the word maturity. So I said, the unity of the faith is not furnished necessarily because our doctrine is the same. Because if it were about doctrine, people in the same church wouldn't have need for quarrel. But even in the same assembly, where they teach and accept the same doctrine, there is a lot of warfare that goes on. That means the subject of the unity of the faith is beyond doctrine. Doctrine will bring us to maturity as individuals when we understand it. But the disparity of doctrine is not what makes us fight one another. It's because we have not attained maturity. So when we come into maturity, he said it will be possible for us to coexist as one, believing in one thing. And then thirdly, he said we come into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That means the Christ that you knew, which is the first criteria. You don't just know him anymore. You become one with him. So you will know him to a point where you become like him. That's why I said, when we shall see him, we shall be like him. That means for the unity of the faith to take place, men must have encounters with Jesus to a point where they become like Christ. Because Christ cannot fight Christ. It is a mystery that exists in the Godhead. The perfect harmony that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Because the Spirit and the Christ are anos. That's why I said, when I go, I will tell the Father, and he will send you another of the same kind. Aro, anos, parakletos. So the Christ and the Spirit is one, because they are the same. So I said, when we become like Christ, grow into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, then the unity of the faith will be actualized. So I said, the unity of the faith has to do with maturity. Unfortunately, I don't have time in this conference, because I wanted to teach us yesterday how to journey into spiritual maturity. But maybe some other times, as the Lord will permit, we will have time to understand how to grow in maturity. But I said, in order not to leave us in oblivion, maturity is not something that exists in limbo. I said there are indicators in scripture that reveal spiritual maturity. But before I began to point out those indicators, I showed us three things that we mistake to be maturity, which is not. And I said the first are gifts. That you manifest gifts of the Spirit does not make you mature. Because in 1 Corinthians 1:4, Paul said the church in Corinth came behind in no spiritual gift. Yet, in the same scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:1, they say you are babes. So a man can walk in blazing dimensions of spiritual gifts, and he will still be a babe. Number two, that you teach and communicate mysteries, like I will be sharing some mysteries tonight, does not make you mature. Because God can use you as a conduit pipe to reach your generation, because he wants to open a dispensation over your generation. But yourself, we have to come under the government of that mystery, so that you are made to become that which you share. That's why Paul said, after having preached, I should not be a castaway, because you can preach it and not know it. So Paul said, that you have all utterance and teach all mystery, it doesn't make you mature. He said, there is malice backbiting among you. He said, are you not babes? Are you not carnal? Don't you function like men? And then number three, we said, that you have a ministry or you are gathering people does not make you mature. That you have a title of an apostle or a prophet does not make you mature. So I showed us from scripture in Acts chapter 20 verse 30. Paul said, when I go, he said, many wolves in sheep clothing will come to draw disciples after themselves. So these ones will gather people. Yet, he said, they are wolves in sheep clothing. So starting a ministry or having a ministerial title does not confer maturity. And I said, in case you want to understand what spiritual maturity is, I will give just four definitions. And the first, I said, is to walk in love. Because love is the bond of perfectness. When a man begins to walk in love, it means he has grown to sustain the nature of God. Because God is love. So when a man begins to walk by the requirements of love, and the powers of love begin to regulate him, you have found a mature man. We have found a perfect man. That's why it is only within the premise of love that we can coexist as one. Because in love is patience. In love is endurance. In love is humility. In love is gentleness. In love is kindness. In love is faithfulness. So the reason I can relate with you It's not because you are flawless. It's because I can forbear. And it is only within the tenet of love that forbearance can be defined. So when a man can walk in love, it means he has taken upon himself the nature of the Christos. When you come close to such a man, the aroma and the fragrances of God are what you will interact with. You know, when Mahatma Gandhi heard the blazing testimonies of the person of Christ, he wanted to become a Christian until he entered the church. When he entered the church, he saw apartheid, segregation between white and black. And he said, I would have become a Christian if I didn't meet one. When I heard about their Jesus, I was so blessed. I wanted to become one of them, but when I met them, I regretted. If I had not met any Christian, I would have become one. But when he came, he didn't find Christ. The Christ he had, he couldn't touch him, because the people preached Christ, but they could not admit the nature of Christ. It is only in love that the aromas of God can be diffused to a generation. When you come close to a system, sometimes what you interact with is an aggression that can only be compared to that of a demon. He rages with so much anger, you can't find gentleness. Sometimes the level of intolerance does not suggest that patience is an attribute of the spirit. But when a man can walk by love, patience and long suffering becomes the tenet that defines his essence. He may not be talking about mysteries, but you will walk with him, you will offend him sometimes, you will become ashamed of yourself. He won't say anything, you will meet him and say, I'm sorry, I'm a wicked man. I've offended you too many times. How come you're not angry? I'm not angry because I have the nature of God. That's a mature believer. But you see, unfortunately, our generation is a generation of tongues and gifts. But the nature of God is class. Every nation of the world is looking for the capital of the spirit. They are looking for patient people. They are looking for faithful people. They are looking for kind people. They are looking for gentle people who can have sufficient integrity to reveal that which they profess. But it is cast because we have babes preaching in the name of the Lord, doing signs and wonders, but they don't have the nature of Christ. That's why it's difficult to affect our world. I said the second qualification of a man that confess maturity upon him is his ability to control his tongue. In James chapter 3 verse 2, he said, a man who can bridle his tongue, that man is a perfect man, because he also has power over his body. Because when you can control your tongue, it means you have won the battle of flesh. You can bring your emotions and the emotions of sin under government. That's what Paul did when he said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, he said, I beat my body and I bring it under subjection. When you see a man who can gather himself and bring control to his emotion, that's a mature man. He's not moved. Many times, you see a generation, you know, we are young people, we are excited. We talk about a lot of things. Most of the things we talk about, we're not even supposed to utter it. But we are too excited. We say too many things at the same time. When you become mature, you will calm. You have the power to wait. Things don't move you. You are not functioning by your emotion. You have rule over your flesh. And that's why the Bible said, a man that can control his flesh is more powerful than a man that can take his city. Because in the realm of God, they are not moved by manifestation. They can find out if you have sufficient gravity to stand where God stands. This is what God taught Moses. Sometimes God will invite Moses to be present, and Moses will labor and climb Mount Sinai. Over 6,000 feet, when Moses climbs, God will not show up. And Moses will be there for 6 days. It's after 6 days when the emotional person, that's when God will come. That was what he taught Elijah. He saw earthquake, he saw fire, he saw boisterous wind. God was not there. He was in the still small voice. Do you have the stamina to control your emotion? Can you be gathered? That's a man that the spirit can entrust his oracles to. You know, everything we know, we now tell everybody to make people look at us as men of stature. So we talk about plenty things and we exaggerate them, their lies. Some of the things we say to make us appear as if we have stature is the proof that we are babes. That's why you see, fathers of faith don't talk too much about encounters. They just come and preach Jesus and go away. Because if they want to talk about encounters, they will say from morning to night. You may start worshiping them. So when they look, they say, just preach Christ and go. They just say it simple and gentle. Sometimes you sit with them for 1 hour, they are just smiling. Meanwhile, you have talked about the many things you saw when you were praying in the last 2 weeks. You have 30 encounters, you have recited all of them. They'll just be smiling. They know you are a child. When you grow up, you'll control your tongue. When I was on the mountain the last time, an angel came, and the angel was, there was fire on his head, and there was a ring on his hand, and his feet was burned. Do you know Jesus Christ? Because you can't control your tongue. You want to say everything. You are a child. This is why the body of Christ can't be one. You just pass somewhere, you heard somebody say something that, Lord, I'm sorry, I have sinned. The next thing you go and say, my God, I was, can you imagine? I just heard my Samaria. I didn't know she was a fornicator. She was talking to her God, but the problem is that you have heard. And because you have heard, your tongue was whack. You are too fighting. No control. Most of the times, the reason the church is burning with anger and jealousy is because of men who can't control their tongue. They say everything to everybody, even what they were not sent to say. Meanwhile, the Jesus they were sent to preach, they've not preached it to 1,000 people. But they can gossip 1,000 people in one day. Because they have no power over their tongue. So they tell A what B said, and they tell B what A said. And then when they collide, they move back and say, God help us. Meanwhile, they were the ones that set the fire with their tongue. So if you can't bridle your tongue, they say you are not mature. And until a generation of believers come that have control over their tongue, even though you know so much, you are not supposed to say so much. You only say what you should say. Then maturity has come. Number three, you come into maturity when you know the will of God. You are not just doing many things because you have ability. Because when you have ability, there are so many things you can do. But the mature don't do what they can do. They do what they should do. Because they are under government. That's why Paul said, we speak mystery. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Among them that are mature. Those who can carry wisdom. Those who can walk by wisdom. So every time you see them doing something, is the will of God. The speed of their life is regulated by the will of God. So if God speaks, and God doesn't speak again for the next 10 years, they will remain in one spot. You will think they are slow. They are not slow. Because the pace of a man is actually supposed to be consistent with the will of God. And it is your obedience that rules out the will of God at time. So the mature are not doing what they can do. They do what is the mind of God for them. So when you come into maturity, it's only what God says to do that you will do. And if God doesn't speak, you can stay on the last instruction for 5 years. And you will not be under pressure. The reason you have a lot of crisis in the body of Christ is because everybody wants to do what is trendy.
Okay.
My friend did something and the whole of Ghana followed. Every other person. Because you started praying in the morning and everybody started, people were bringing testimony. Everybody wants to pray in the morning. No, that is not the way of God. Everybody must find his own blueprint. That you are praying at 6 a.m. and 50,000 is following you. Does not mean now the way to do ministry is to pray in the morning. No. That is God's will for you. My own may be missions. And I will be far in another city. Nobody will know me in my village. But it is the will of God. The reason we have problems is because there's competition. Many people are anxious to do many things. Many things. As I am now, I'm not using myself now as an example. I'm just giving you an instance. Because I have a lot to learn. There are many things I can preach that will be trending. Every week I can preach something that will trend. And it will trend till I preach the next one.
It's true.
As if I talk about marriage, it will blow like wildfire. If I teach on leadership, it will explode. You will hear things you've never heard. If I talk about wisdom, it will scatter everywhere. But God said, now talk alignment. I want you to set people on fire so that they can make the transition. I said something about Big Brother Nigeria in my country. It blew open. Before the message was streamed, more than 4,000 people were arguing and waiting for the message. I just said something about marriage for 4 minutes. It went haywire.
Okay.
So if my goal is popularity, every week I'll have series, different series, because I'm looking to society. I know what to say that everybody will want to hear. But that is not my assignment. Your goal is to stay on alignment and set men on fire. The reason you see a lot of crisis is because people don't know the will of God for their lives. They want to say many things. They want to do many things. So when somebody is doing something and they start doing it and it's not working, they start withholding that person. They hope the person will fail. And in case the person doesn't fail quick enough, they will start creating ways of making that person fail. By lying against him, doing all kinds of things, he must go down. Since I didn't succeed, he can't succeed. So when men don't know the will of God, they are infants. And finally, the fourth that we release tonight, a man becomes mature when his body is an emphasis, become matters of eternity. It's eternity that moves him. Because he has judged the world, and like Paul, he will count everything as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Nothing in the world moves him anymore, because he has checked the world, he discovered that there is nothing in the world that can add value to him in eternity. So everything he does in the world becomes an opportunity and an investment into eternity. Because when he finishes, he knows there is a crown of life that awaits him. So the reason you will slap that man and he will look at you, even though he can kill you, is because he doesn't want to lose credit in Zion. Because in Zion, many things he does will be credited to him. The reason he can give all his property for the gospel to be advanced is because of Zion. He said, they that win it so, they are wise, and they shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. So the reason you see that person hunting souls every day, even though the people don't want to hear, he keeps at it, is because he is pursuing something in eternity. He wants to have a place in Zion. So for that, he will give up the world. That's why I said, if you gain the world, you will lose your soul. But if you lose your soul for the world, for Christ, he said, you will gain all things. He has seen something about eternity that motivates every living. When people have not seen eternity, they are motivated by it. They love this world. Oh, if you say there is party, they want to go there.
Right.
And they will drink until 7 a.m. They will have to close the club before they go home. But some of us, we have seen angelic dance. So we know sounds of heaven. We have heard music that when you hear, it will afflict you for many years. It will eat into your soul, because that sound came from where sound is sound indeed. Sometimes, those days I'm in a bus, they are playing something. And then when I drop, I don't even know they were playing music. I see, you are so lost in another dimension that the things of this world become noise. Meanwhile, some people love this world so much, they are bubbling, they are bubbling, they are bubbling. If they wear jeans, if jeans is raining and everywhere is torn, tomorrow all their clothes in their wardrobe is torn, including their singlet. They love this present world. They say, Demas love this present world. He has not heard the fibers of eternity, the vibrations of eternity. When a man knows eternity, even if his body were to be burned, it will not count so much for him. Well, is it that kind of man that will come and be fighting with you over who will need praise? No. What moves him is more than the applause of men. If you love leading praise so much, lead it for 1 year. Is it that kind of man that wants to drag who will take announcement? Hope you know the reason some people quarrel in church is because they want to take announcement. So you didn't allow them to take announcement. You are holding the mic. You were even showing to take announcement. Meanwhile, there are many territories in Ghana that nobody has entered. You are struggling over one pulpit. In one service, 7 people come on one pulpit. Meanwhile, there is a pulpit in North Ghana, northern part of Ghana, that nobody goes there. There are many places where in the village nobody has heard about Christ. Where there is a large pulpit that you can walk from morning to night. You didn't fight for that one. In this small space here, that everybody is struggling. Hey, he stood there for 5 minutes. His fight was supposed to be 4 minutes, 30 seconds. He was there for 5 minutes because they were clapping. So you noticed they were clapping. You are hurting. Sometimes you are worshiping because the power of God begins to move. The person coordinating the service will come and collect the microphone. You don't know your time is supposed to be 2 minutes, 10 seconds. You have done 2 minutes, 11 seconds.
Merciful Father.
Because it's provoked that power of God is moving. And because power of God is moving while you are ministering, he's in trouble. Men will now think you have statue. He's troubled that people will now respect you, that you are anointed. Or you come for meeting because you are going out. 3 people knelt down and gave seat to your friend. And they didn't kneel down to greet you. You can't speak again. You are earthly. You are a creature of this world. The Holy Ghost has been in your room for 2 weeks. He can't secure your attention. But you are angry because men didn't notice you. You are on the earth. When you mature, you will know that only eternity matters. Because that's where your report card is. Every step you take, there is a score in Zion. So every day you return in the evening, you go before him that sits in the midst of the coals of fire and find out, Lord, if I erred, have mercy. Have mercy. Because there is a word to come. There's a word to come. Let me talk to you about the dispensations of God. I think now I can talk about some mysteries. We don't fight over this world because this world is already gone. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, the Bible calls this age an evil age. It's an evil age. God is waiting to burn the elements of this world. He said the elements of this world will melt because there is another world that is coming. It is the world to come that we pursue after. That you may find a place and have some ranking. There is a world to come. This world has been judged. We don't fight over this world anymore. There is a world to come. That's what we look for. That's our body. That's our pursuit. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6, he talks about the ages to come. He said to wield the powers of the ages to come. Men who have understanding, that's what they pursue. But before I talk to you about ranking in the ages to come, let me show you, first of all, the 6 dispensations of the natural age. You know, I'm calm so that we don't get explosive and what happened yesterday. I want you to hear something.
Okay.
You want to hear something?
Yeah.
In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this age. Your ambition is not to conform to this age. Detach from this age as much as you can. Detach. In Matthew 13, verse 22, it says, many will lose the reality because of the cares of this age. Don't let this age rob you of the age to come. There is a place for everyone that has walked through time to find relevance in the age to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, it says, for our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And they are lost because there is something happening. There is a God of this age that blinded their eyes. Their eyes are blinded. So when you talk about divine things, it doesn't move them. There is a God of this age that has sat upon them and made a slave of them. So they cannot make progress. The God of this age. But you are not of that stock. You are not of this age. You have the ages to come because you have a place in the ages to come. So let me talk to you about the dispensations of God. When God created man and put him in the garden, he had a plan. He had a purpose he wanted to actualize. But the purposes of God are twofold. There is a horizontal purpose of God. And there is a vertical purpose of God. The horizontal purpose of God has to do with dominion and rulership on the face of the earth. So when he created Adam in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26, when he said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, let them have dominion. That is the kingdom dimension. It is horizontal. That means it will begin from eternity past into eternity future. So it will run through time, from the beginning of time to the end. The end of time is what the Bible spoke about in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. It said, in the completion of this dispensation, it said, all things in heaven and on earth will be wrapped together and it will be put in Christ as one. So there is a time when this age will come to an end. That means there is a purpose of God that started from the beginning of time and it will travel to the end of time. But you see, because the purpose of God is not individualistic alone, but also corporate, he has to fragment it into different dispensations so that man can work in it. You know, if you were supposed to study, maybe you are a medical doctor. From the day you were born, you were a medical doctor because God knows your end. But you see, you can't begin to study cadaver in primary one. If they bring the dead, you will start having bad dreams from that day to you. But you see, you have to go through primary school, secondary school, to the university, because achieving what you are supposed to work in order to dominate this world, it must be fragmented for you to be able to handle it. So even though the plan of God was for man to dominate the earth, it had to be fragmented into different dispensations. And those dispensations are the dealings of God with man to help man come into maturity, to wield the powers that is required to bring dominion to the face of the earth. So when God created the first man, he already decreed his purpose on the earth, that kingdom and government will come upon this world, because the goal is for this world, the kingdoms of this world, to become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. But for man to enter into the fullness and actualize that reality, it must be fragmented. It must be fragmented. So the first man God created, the dispensation of that man's operation was the dispensation of innocence. The man was not necessarily righteous because he didn't conform with the standard of heaven. Because there are many laws that will make him align with Zion. But at that time, he was just created. So God gave him the world and told him from Eden to dominate the world. But the man was innocent. He didn't know the politics of the realms. He didn't know there were other spirits contending for rulership on the face of the earth. He didn't know there were fallen angels that had come into the world and wanted to enact their government and dominion upon the face of the earth. He was innocent. He was without sin, but he was innocent. So a serpent crept into the garden and deceived that man and took dominion from him. The reason is because he was innocent. So it was a dispensation where he had power to control the world and to make earth become like heaven. But he was too innocent. So he couldn't achieve that. So when God looks upon that man, he deals with that man on the basis of his innocence. So even though that man doesn't pray, because he will never live in Eden that Adam prayed, God still came to him. Now if you don't pray, you will be in trouble. You will be in trouble. But you see, even if though the man didn't pray, God visited him. The man stands up in the morning and just begins to give command. Command. If you give command like that now, you won't see anything. Because you are not in the age of innocence. Everything Adam said happened. Immediately he commanded, it happened. Because he was innocent, he was exonerated from the rigid requirement for kingdom authority and administration. So everything he did, God just allowed it. God allowed it. He's growing. He's innocent. Let him grow. Until the serpent came and sabotaged what God wanted to do. And the moment that happened, that era ended. So the fall of man and the rebellion of man was what brought an end to the dispensation of innocence. The reason is because he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God said, the man has become like one of us, knowing good from evil. So he is no longer innocent. So the next dispensation was activated, which is the dispensation of conscience. So because he now knows good and evil, we will judge him whether he chooses good or chooses evil.
Because now he knows the difference between good and evil. So if the man doesn't exact himself to choose good, he will pay the consequence of evil. Because he was in the state of innocence, everything he did was pardonable. But now he has stepped into a realm where he knows good and evil. So we will judge him if he does right, and we will judge him if he does evil. So from Genesis 3:23, God sent the man out of the garden. You are choosing evil, so you will pay the consequence of evil. The man had entered the dispensation of conscience. So if you read Romans chapter 2, the Bible revealed the way a man in that dispensation will be saved. Because Jesus has not been preached. How can such a man receive salvation? So God said, even though there was no law, they had a conscience as a law unto themselves. So on the basis of conscience, God judged them. So a man is either justified or condemned to the degree to which he aligns to his conscience. But man functioned on the realm of conscience until the warfare of this world became too heavy for him. So angels fell again into the world. He said the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and they desired them. And they came and took the daughters of men and had great giants. And he said in those days were men of renown. And because more evil was added to the earth, the conscience of man was overwhelmed. And he said man began to walk in evil continually. So God looked at it and said, no, even though I wanted this man to function by conscience, there is too much evil now for his conscience to survive. The first evil on the earth, he allowed it. But now other angels have brought more evil to the earth. So it will be unjust for this man just to function by conscience. So God himself activated another dispensation. So in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1, God activated the dispensation of the promise. So he told Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house. Get thee out of thy country and out of thy kindred, and I will bless you. In blessings I will bless you. And he said, by thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So everybody that wants to walk in the fullness of the reality of God does not only have conscience anymore. If he blesses Abraham and aligns with Israel, God will now call it his own. So man began to function by the promises of Abba. This is why until the time of the law, every time you provided the promises of God before him, God is put under obligation to attend to you. All of these are levels of maturity in the dispensation of man, even as he attempts to advance the purposes of God. But the point came, man himself now said, whatever God said we will do, we will do. That was when they erred, because they didn't know the standard of God. God saw they couldn't fulfill his standard, so he gave them the promise. They now told Moses, whatever God said we should do, we will do. God looked at them, can you do it? Whatever I say you should do, you will do. Exodus 19 verse 8, immediately he said, everybody get back. Anybody who touches the mountain will be killed. Suddenly the mountain where they were touching, they had no right to touch it anymore, because there is a requirement of holiness for you to approach God. Since you say you will function by my standard, I will show you my standard. And God brought 318 laws as just moral laws. And he gave them another 10 commandments as religious laws by which they will reach him. And because of those laws, they still needed atonement. Many kinds of offering to be able to approach God. Since you want to live by my standard, I will end the era of the promise and I will activate the era of the law. So the law was given to man. All of this was to mature man, to empower him to be able to bring kingdom to the earth. Because there is an invincible government in heaven that God wanted to bring upon the face of the earth. The goal was to make the whole earth become like Eden. Because God himself planted Eden, but he wanted man to spread Eden. But man was innocent. The devil hijacked it. Man stepped into conscience. Other angels brought evil. Conscience could no longer help man. God promised man. Man said, I don't want promise, I want law. So he gave man law. After they labored with the law for 1,500 years, the Bible said by the requirements of the law is no man righteous. So nobody was able to keep the law in 1,500 years. And when God looked upon man again, God now discovered, if I continue like this, my government will never find expression on earth. So what God did, God himself ended the era of the law and God introduced the era of grace. So in John chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So through Christ, man was given another opportunity to be able to bring dominion to the face of the earth. While all of this was happening, man had not begun to grow vertically. These were all horizontal journey. But what God wanted man to do was not just earthly, because God wanted man to participate in the counsel of the Godhead. Because when he created man, he didn't create man like an angel. He created man like himself. So the goal of God is not just for man to mature enough to be able to bring government. The goal of man, of God, was for man to become like him, participating with him in the community of the Godhead. So while man was growing horizontally, he had not even begun to grow vertically. You know, you can become big and you have money, and you will buy cars for your sisters and your brothers, even for your fathers, but you may not meet up the righteous demand of your family and lineage. So it's one thing to grow vertically and be able to dominate the earth. It's another thing to horizontally rather, but it's another thing to grow vertically. So when we want to call you a son of the soil, we may not just call you a son of the soil because you bought many cars. It's because you know the value system of Ghanaians. So when they look at you, they know this is a Ghanaian indeed. He's an honest man. He's a trustworthy man. They don't want to care how much millions you have. That's horizontal. When they want to call men who can represent Ghana as a nation, they are looking for men that have integrity. That's vertical growth. So even though man was growing horizontally, he had not begun to grow vertically. It is until the era of grace came, the man was not growing vertically. He was struggling, but he was still in the flesh. Even though Israel was spreading, and Israel went to the promised land, and many people were joining themselves to Israel, Israel was not becoming like God yet. So God had to introduce the era of grace, so that this man does not only grow horizontally. You know, when they built the Tower of Babel, they wanted to declare independence of God. So man can dominate the world, but he will not have a place with God. That's the error we have, part of the errors we have in the body of Christ today. When you come to church, it's all about success, success, success. You can succeed on earth until you become earthly. And when Jesus comes, he will leave you on earth. The rapture will take place because you have so dominated the earth, Jesus will leave you on earth. Keep at it. Why others will come for the bridegroom, the feast of the bridegroom, you will remain on earth and you will be dominating the earth. The growth is not only earthly dominance, there is also a place in the spirit that God wants you to get to. But after the era of grace, man was received into God. God had to reintroduce the assignment that he gave Adam, that Adam was innocent and could not carry out. It was the same assignment of the kingdom. He wanted Adam to carry out kingdom, but Adam was innocent. He was hijacked from him. Now that grace has come, I want to activate what I had in mind originally, which is the kingdom. So the last dispensation of man on the face of the earth is the dispensation of the kingdom. That's why we call this era the last days. The reason we call this the last days is because no other era will come again. The last era is the era of the kingdom, where the government of God will be introduced on the face of the earth. Now, when these things begin to happen, the reason for our evangelism, we go to win souls, we build churches, we build Christian institutions, we are on the media, is kingdom taking place. We are bringing the dominion of God to the world. But while we are doing that, there is a vertical transition that we must also walk in. That is what will give us relevance in the world to come. So when you come into the kingdom, you begin the vertical transition. And that transition also is fragmented into six dispensations. The first dispensation in the vertical transitions of God is the dispensation of mercy. You know, nobody was qualified. Everybody was condemned. Romans 3:23 said, the wages of sin is death. So everybody was supposed to die, because that is what we qualify for. But there was something impossible for us to die. It is the equation of mercy. So you didn't have the right to earn anything with God, because the wages of sin is death. Every one of us was already condemned. So when the dispensation of the kingdom was to come, God had to introduce the first thing that will make us grow vertically, which is the mercy of God. This is why everybody has the right to eternal life. This is why everybody has potentials of being great with God, because the mercy of God is a sovereign decree of God that qualifies every man, not because of him, but because of God. According to the standards of covenant, the man was supposed to die, but God decided by an act of his sovereignty that I will give everybody an opportunity again. That opportunity God gives all of us is called the mercy of God. So we come back into the journey of growing in God. So everybody in this hall, for example, can be as great as Apostle Paul if he chooses to, because mercy has included all of us. Let me read two scriptures for you before I proceed, because very soon I will begin to touch on energy. Very soon.
Okay, sir.
In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, Paul reveals something about God who is rich in mercy. So the reason God reached out to humankind again is not because man qualified. Now, you need to understand something, that God had the power to delete man and start another project. Because he told Moses, I will wipe out Israel and begin another work. So he had that power. But the reason he chose, instead of wiping out man, to start another project, is because of his mercy. So every one of us that has a walk with God or a place with God, we do because God is rich in mercy. In Titus chapter 3 verse 5, the Bible talked about the mercy of God that reached man, not because man is righteous. It said not because of any righteous thing we did. God just decided to show us great mercy. Paul was speaking about himself. In 2 Corinthians 4, 1, he said he's an injurious man. He's a terrible man. He said, I was a terrible man. I was a blasphemer. I was an injurious man. I was a terrible man. He said, but the reason I'm able to stand here and represent God is not because I'm a good man. It's because God showed me mercy. Because God showed me mercy. And the reason God showed mercy, lamentation makes us understand. In James 2:13, it says mercy prevails over judgment. Even though in the court of God, man was condemned, mercy came and said, no, let man be. So Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 said, it is for his mercy that we are not consumed. His compassion faileth not. And he said his mercies are new every morning. So that everybody can come back into the dispensation of vertical growth in God. Now that mercy has enacted its policies, it has created the ground for the next dispensation. So the next vertical dispensation man entered into was the dispensation of the love of God. The love of God is not just the mercy of God. The mercy of God qualifies you, but the love of God makes for the equation that will bring you in as an individual. God can choose to be merciful over Ghana and say, let everybody prosper. But you need to receive something tangible for God, from God, to make that possible. That's what the love of God came to do. So in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In Romans 8:32, it says, God, if he did not withhold his only Son, but freely gave him all for us, how shall he not with him give us all things? So what the love of God does is that the love of God, after the mercy has created the atmosphere, the love of God picked up you personally and brought you in. And so God paid the price for you. You know, even though mercy said you are forgiven, even though mercy said you are justified, the justice of God will not allow it. So before God brings you in, something must happen. So what the love of God does is that the price you are supposed to pay, God pays it. So Jesus had to die for you to be admitted. The mercy of God said, let us admit this man. So you are now admittable. But it is the love of God that pays the price for you to be admitted. That's why the love of God begins from the cross. Without the cross of Jesus Christ, we cannot know the love of God. The cross of Jesus Christ is the revelation of the love of God. So what the cross did is that on the cross, you are the one God sees. He doesn't see Jesus on the cross. He sees you there. So, even though his mercy says forgive you, his wrath says it will not be possible. So what God did was that in his law, he substituted you on Christ. So while Jesus was on the cross, when God looks at the cross, he looks at Mike. When God looks at the cross, he looks at Ben. And when Ben was on the cross, the sins of Ben was on the cross with him. So in divine justice, he looks as if God was not just merciful, but God killed you, but God killed you in Christ Jesus. That's why God said we are included in his death. Because if I say it's alright, it doesn't mean it's alright. There is a debt you have to pay. So in addition to it's alright, I will bring out the CDs and pay the debt. So Jesus was brought out as the price. So when Jesus died, the love of God was made manifest. So man came into the dispensation of the love of God. And what the love of God did was that it included man in God. So that man can now grow in God. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Now that the love of God has been manifested, God still didn't stop there. The grace of God was released. So man journeyed from the dispensation of mercy, vertically speaking, to the dispensation of law. From the dispensation of law, he still enters the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace is also inclusive of love and mercy. But classically speaking, in addition to salvation, what grace does is that it gives you the ability of God. That's why we say grace is not ticket for sin. Grace is actually the deliverance of man. Because in Titus chapter 2 verse 11, it said the grace of God that bringeth salvation, it doesn't stop there. It said that grace teaches us. It teaches us not to be conformed to this world. That grace teaches us that denying ungodly lust. So what that grace comes to do was that that grace gives us an empowerment to do the things of God. It is because of that grace that we prophesy. It's because of that grace that we heal the sick. It's because of that grace that we preach the gospel. So everything we can do in this realm, representing God, it is actually grace of God. So in 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, I labor more than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that is at work in me. So when you see somebody talking the mysteries of God, it is grace at work. When you see somebody healing the sick, it is grace at work. When you see somebody prophesying, it is grace at work. It's a realm. There are some people that are still at the level of mercy. So every day they sin, they say, Lord, have mercy. And God will have mercy and forgive them, because that is a level of good. There are people that every day they fall and rise. God will forgive them, because there is a dispensation of mercy in the growth process. So while God is forgiving you, he's hoping that you will grow. That's why the Bible said, the patience of God worketh repentance. He's hoping that you will grow. So God is not offended. You fell today, you stood up, you say, Lord, I'm sorry. He still forgives you. But the problem is that you are the lowest rung. If the world ends today, you will be the youngest child in heaven. You see why God doesn't want the world to end? Because more than 70% of Christians are still rising and falling. So if the world ends, they will be babes for eternity. And God doesn't want the human age to be a baby age. Because as I go further, I will tell you the difference between archangels, chief princes, and the 24 elders. Those are different dispensations. When your dispensation ends, the age of your maturity is what will define your rank in life. Because in the angelic kingdom, hear me, in the angelic kingdom, the 24 elders are different categories of angels. The chief princes and archangels are different categories of angels. But when their dispensation ended, that was the highest maturity they attained. So every angelic era, the highest maturity they attained becomes their status in Zion. What God wants to do with man was that before the age of man end, man should grow to the stature of God. That's why he said, we will grow into the fullness of the measure of the stature of God. So if man doesn't attain the stature of God, this age cannot end. So love of God is in the realm of grace. Even though there is a grace of God, we will not remain there. Do you see why our church is still the sick? Yet we live in sin. It's because we have not grown past that level. When we say the church is infant, the reason we say that is because the age of the church currently is the age of grace. The church has not grown beyond grace. You know, the reason God raised apostles is not to have big ministries. The reason God raised apostles is not because he wants them to be popular. The message of an apostle are from his encounters and his days. And the reason is because God gives him the power to bring the body of Christ to another dispensation. The revival we are talking about is not for miracles or signs and wonders. The revival we are talking about is actually for transition. Transition from the age of grace to the next age. There were apostles that came, that preached the message of the cross and brought the body of Christ to mercy. There were apostles that came, that preached the message of the cross and brought the body of Christ from mercy to law. There were apostles that came, that preached the cross and took the body of Christ from love to grace. But there is another age that the body must mature to. That realm is what I began to mention yesterday. Is the realm of the fear of the Lord. It is the age of the terror of God. Now, the body of Christ must mature from grace to the fear of God. That age is superior to the age of grace. When the body of Christ matures to the age of the fear of God, people will not sin anymore. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is calling for a church without spot or wrinkle. It's a church that is fully mature. We must grow from mercy to love, from love to grace, from grace to terror. That's what Paul meant when he said, knowing the terror of God, we commend men to repent. Because, see, when you start walking with God, you will know that you journey from mercy. Because there used to be a time when anything you do, God forgives you. There is a point you will get to. You will discover that God will want to have intimacy with you. There is a point you will get to. You will discover that if you say Jesus, demons will go out. The sin will be healed. But after a while, you will journey from there. You will come to another point where you will know the God that doesn't forgive. Because at that level, it's not just about what you can do. It's no longer about manifestation. It's about accuracy. That was where Moses came to. And when Moses offended God, God told him, go to the mountain Abarim in Nebo and die there. I will never forgive you. Because you are not functioning by grace. You have grown beyond the realm of grace. Now you live in the realm of the terror of God. And in the terror of God, God entrusts himself to you. So you don't have the right to fail. If you fail once, God will disqualify you. The body of Christ must come to the realm of the terror of God. In Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 1, it says, even if you call Moses and Samuel, I will not forgive these people. These people have seen the grace of God. I journeyed with them as a pillar of fire and as a pillar of cloud. They saw my glory. How come they offended me? There's no forgiveness. In Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 14, We also know the God that killeth and maketh alive. So we tremble at his presence. We tremble. He's the God of terror. And if the body of Christ does not mature from the realm of grace to the realm of the fear of the Lord, the body will remain a child. And God forbid that Jesus comes now. Because if Jesus comes, we will still go to heaven. And our age will be an age of children. We will not have the power to sit where the elders of heaven sit. Because our age will be the age of children. This is why we preach death. This is why God is calling men to the place of dying. To subdue the power of flesh. Because he wants to mature the body of Christ. This is why John, now it's not just about prophecy. God will bless you. God will increase you. No! When you come to Stratum, you don't need a man to prophesy to you. Everything you thought, we walk. Everything, we walk. When you come to maturity, you don't need a man to pray for your sickness, because you will walk. It's a migration from grace to the fear of God. And the only way to do it is to come to the point of death. If it's about prophesying over success and the things you can earn, you will never grow. You will never migrate. There are over millions of people in the Middle East dying every day. When they die with joy. Because even though there are no big churches there, they have migrated. It is a church in the West that is still preaching prosperity and strategies of human relationship. Those things are taught in business school. When you come to the cross, the church will reveal the cross of Jesus. We show you the way of death because we know where God is going. God moved from mercy to love, from love to grace. Now God is going to the fear of the Lord. To the fear of the Lord. That's why 90% of a congregation are godless people. But we don't care. So long as the church is full, we are satisfied. It is an old wineskin. It is the old wineskin. When the church transits to the fear of the Lord, then there is another level. It is the level of the secrets of God. You know, we will preach the cross at mercy. We will preach the cross at love. We will preach the cross at grace. We will preach the cross at the fear of the Lord. But when we come to the mysteries of God, the gospel will become the gospel of the resurrected Christ. That is when the dimensions of the rapture will become normal. Then we will not praise men because they can heal the sick. Men will begin to translate into immortality. You know, some people are not of the Issachar generation. God gave them the revelation of immortality. They are teaching it when the church is still at the level of grace. That's why they touch them. That's not the message for now. The message for now is still the cross. It's still death. Because the church needs to come to the fear of the Lord. It's when the church grows into the fear of God that God will give the church secrets. That's why I said the secret of God is with them that fear Him. He will show them His covenant. If we have not come to the fear of the Lord, we can't handle the oracles of God. The secrets of God cannot be handled. But if the church were to grow, if the church were to grow, you will see we will come to church not by cars and vehicles. Men will appear on their seat and it will be normal. Immortality. Transfiguration. That's what we'll be sharing. When somebody is accepted in his spirit, his body will begin to glow. We will live on earth like citizens of heaven. That's when the doctrine of immortality will be taught. That's when the doctrine of translation and transubstantiation will be taught. But now God is laboring. We must grow from grace to the dead water, the fear of the Lord. So grace will help us to migrate into death. There are too many secrets that we can't handle. There are men that should stand and command the sun not to go down. There are men that should come to a congregation, and when he's talking about heaven, he will take the whole church on excursion to heaven. The way you carry students to the White House on excursion, the pastor will take his congregation to heaven on excursion, and they will be there for 1 week and come back. They are immortal dimensions. But if the church doesn't grow from grace to the fear of God, the church can't come to the realm of the secrets of God. The secrets of the Lord, they are with them that fear Him. So the fifth realm of maturity is the realm of the secrets of God. So our powers will be the secrets that God has entrusted to us. They will be the secrets. That's when the world itself will know it's a waste of time to tell us to use nose masks because you can't see us. It will be a waste of time to tell us to be vaccinated because if I want to go to Nigeria, when I'm done, right from the altar, I say goodbye. So rapture was for a dispensation. But the church must grow from mercy to love, from love to grace, and from grace to the fear of God before we can come to the realm of secrets. So a man will be in his house praying and he will enter heaven. And God will show him what to do to bring fear to the government house. He will be at home and he will say what he says. And Ghana, things will happen. Men will begin to walk on the face of the earth like gods. Custodians of the earth. we have gone past that level. Because there is a realm you will get to. If you have one cup of water, you will tell the water not to finish. And it won't finish. You can pray on loaves of bread and they will multiply. Because when Jesus did it, it was a witness to a generation. That a generation is coming that can command food to multiply. When you enter that realm, do you need somebody to prophesy a job? No. Our preoccupation will be the knowledge of God. When we explore God day and night, that's where we are going to. The world knows that even the church is dependent on the economy. That's why they use the economy to manipulate the church. But when the church grows, we will have our own Zion's economy. But we must grow. We must grow. That's why we are preaching death is a new manner. And only the apostles that he has given authority to transcend the church know this message. Because he has dealt with us in the cave. He has given us encounters and has given us authority to utter them. So when men hear them, they sound bitter, but their soul knows the message. So even though they don't like us, they can't deny it. Day and night, we scream at their soul. And there is a hunger to more of God. Because there is a transition. Don't be left in the realm of grace when the body has entered the fear of God. You will be doing caricature. And when God comes for his men, you will not be counted. Because when we journey to fear, we journey to secrets. And then when we journey beyond secrets, then we come to the realm of stillness. The realm of stillness is no activity anymore. You know him as you are known. That's the realm of the 20 and 4 elders. All you do is to behold him. Because God doesn't talk to you anymore. God pours himself into you, you pour yourself into him. That's where the mystery of oneness is achieved. And that was the prayer of Jesus before he went to the cross. He said that they may be one with us, even as we are one. So if the church doesn't transit to that realm of oneness, where our language is not tangible, it's not cognitive, yet we communicate in words that cannot be articulated. If we don't come there, then the church will not fulfill our purpose on the face of the earth. There is a sojourn. Beyond the vertical, the horizontal sojourn, there is a vertical sojourn. When the body of Christ mature to the realm of secrets and the realm of stillness, then God is ready to come. Because that time, many will visit heaven on daily basis. Even God himself will know that the church shall come to a state without spot or wrinkle. That time we put Jesus under pressure to return. Maranatha will not happen because we pray. Maranatha will happen because we mature. Because when we come to the realm of the fear of God, we know the will of God. We no longer struggle with sin. The fear of God becomes the government over us. And what we claim is not just a gift, but the presence. And that time, God will open his secrets to a generation. Because when you come to the realm of stillness, you are qualified for your dispensation to be closed. Because after the realm of stillness, the next realm is the realm of the Godhead. Men don't graduate there. Only Elohim sits there. It is the fire that is not approachable. It is the light that cannot be approached. It is the realm of the Godhead. But before the dispensation of man ends, man must come to the realm of stillness. Where we know him as we are known. Where we become one with God. Until everything about us become a reflection of the similitude of Abba. This is the journey that we have come into. And that is where the true oneness of the faith is realized. There's too much garbage from the altar. We teach people wisdom that they can learn from philosophy. We teach people about human relationship, what to do, how to win favor, how to do this, as if our journey is earthward. People that have no relationship with the Holy Ghost, all we teach them is about how to be native to one another. Be wise. If you do this, favor will come to you. Meanwhile, you can come to a realm where you become a custodian of favor. We teach people how to succeed in time, as if earth is our home. People that have no place in heaven, because men gather in number, and then you hear messages from January to December, you don't hear the cross. And then
okay.
you think you will transit.
Ah.
And then we say we are great apostles. What people of the world teach better? After having taught people about prosperity for many years, which pastor is among the first 10 richest men in the world? That means we don't even know how it is done. Because it's a game of the world. But a whole ministry can carve its leech around it. I'm not saying it shouldn't be taught. But that's not God's eternal emphasis. The body of Christ is taking too long to mature. That's why God is anointing new apostles that can bring a different manner. Because we are behind schedule in the dealings of eternity. There must be a vertical transition. I don't know about you, but for me, I will not live here until I arrive the realm of stillness. Where I know him as he knows me. I will not live here. I will not live here. And before I live here, I will make sure I afflict many people with burdens for God. Until they seek him beyond time. And they also arrive at that realm. Because our dispensation will also have elders. Then we also have elders. Men that walk with God until in the flesh they become like him. The author of Enoch, he said they walked with God and they were not. You come to a realm where you become too one with God that he seizes you from among waters. You can't dwell with men anymore. Come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. That's where our journey is. You want to pray in the next 2 minutes? Because the message that will take us here is the message of the cross. To surrender. To surrender. Ah, no, no, no. To surrender. The message of the cross is not a wound divided. It is the message of total surrender to Jesus. Let him have his way. Now that I have come to the realm of grace, I don't only want to manifest. Let grace teach me how to fear God. Until I journey beyond fear. Into the secrets of God. This is why we came. That when time is accomplished, we will become functionaries in the world to come. Seated upon thrones.
life. The Lord told me two things will happen. The day I will be allowed to preach this message, He will send an angel of the presence to come to bring its witness to territories. And the second is the day I will preach this message, that day He will commission me as an apostle of the last day. So I will begin a move on the face of the earth. That's the day my service will end to anybody, because there, there's a liberty of the spirit that we need to be able to bring this witness. That angel of the presence has come. And there is one resource that He gives men to make them journey this far with God. And that resource is hunger. Hunger. As I'm talking now, there are over 21 persons that angel will alight upon. Ushers, in the next 2 minutes, there are over 21 people that will come under the heavy hand of that angel. Bring them here quickly.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, orocomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.
Believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26767 6055, +233 26767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.